Good morning.
Good morning.
The theme for this fall's stewardship campaign is On This Rock We Are Rich in Love. It is a part of our larger vision statement that's On This Rock We Are Deep in Faith, Rich in Love, Bold in Mission. Now, after 35 years in a corporate career and participation on several nonprofit boards, believe me when I say that I have spent more than my fair share of time in meetings creating, rehashing, and wordsmithing vision, mission, and value statements. I was once in a three-hour meeting where we debated whether our mission statement, the performance leader, should be changed to capital T, capital H, capital E, performance leader. Is it the performance leader, the performance leader, or the performance leader? So when I asked whether that meant we were actually the performance leader or whether it's something that we aspired to be, my CEO told me that he was pleased but not satisfied. So naturally, when encountering On This Rock We Are Rich in Love, I asked myself, is Emmanuel rich in love, or is this something that we aspire to be? And pleased but not satisfied is not an option for an answer. I firmly believe that the congregation of Emmanuel Church is indeed rich in love. And why am I so convinced of this? Because how else can you explain how we take care of each other and take care of those in the community around us? I see how we take care of our seniors, not only in Eucharistic visits, but also with frequent visits from parishioners led by the clergy and caring committee. I see how we take care of our children by providing them with a stimulating preschool and faith quest and choir program. And we take care of our parishioners at all ages in between, particularly whenever anyone is in need. And I can vouch for this firsthand because you have a long history of taking care of me. When I was in my late 20s, my career had stalled, my marriage had disintegrated, I had zero confidence in myself, and all of this was taking a serious toll on my health. One of my favorite activities was to sit at home in a hooded sweatshirt with the hood up over my head. So my family wanted me to return to Tennessee so they could take care of me. But multi-generations of Emmanuelites took me under their wing and frequently got me out from under my hoodie. In one event that turned out to be particularly momentous, I was the sickest I had ever been. I had had a severe case of bronchitis for weeks, and I just wanted to go home for Thanksgiving. But I couldn't even sit up, much less drive all the way to Nashville. So a group from Emmanuel, including Glenn and Kathy Dunn, was traveling to the Carolinas, and they said one of them would drop me off at my family and then continue on their journey. I don't remember much about that trip. I had my seat reclined all the way back and I was too weak to talk. But my driver was someone I had met a few times at Emmanuel events, Gail Turner, and coincidentally, or maybe not so coincidentally, the future Gail Birdsong. We were married at Emmanuel's altar at what one attendee called the mother of all weddings. And we were not the only ones to have found their lifelong partners here at Emmanuel. On this rock, we are rich in love. Now, 25 years later, Gail received a devastating diagnosis of a terminal brain tumor. And again, Emmanuel was there to take care of us. Emmanuel parishioners provided Martha's meals, drove Gail to chemotherapy when I had to work, had our daughter Megan stay with them when we had to make our overnight trips to the Duke Medical Clinic, and made countless visits at our home, at the hospital, the rehab facility, and finally at the hospice house. Now, Megan went away to college, and then 3 weeks later, Gail died. Gives a whole new meaning to the term empty nest. But Emmanuel was with me throughout the whole grieving process, starting with the mother of all funerals. Soon thereafter, I believe that I was called to end my career in finance and be ordained as a deacon. Emmanuel is with me through this discernment and has provided constant support to me, and shall I say, this arduous ordination track. I could not do it without you. And by the way, deacons are not paid, so this is not a self-serving reflection. On this rock, we are rich in love. And this metaphorical rock is made tangible in the Emmanuel Memorial Garden. Next week, we'll be celebrating the 30th anniversary of the founding of the Memorial Garden. And so many who embodied the richness of Emmanuel's love and who took such loving care of me are buried in the garden. With Gail are Dick and Janet Roberts, Bob Skinner, Alice Hilmer, Carol Green, Chuck Beloli, and others. The Emmanuel Memorial Garden is the constant reminder that we are rich in love, not just now, but for all time. On this rock, we are rich in love. We take care of those in the community around us. The Food Center, Brown Bag, Lydia's House, Webster Rock Hill Ministry, City Streets, Piecemeal, Deaconess Ann House, African Students at Eden Seminary, Nicaragua, Rosebud Indian Reservation, the list just goes on and on. But we are bold in mission only because we are rich in love. So what does this have to do with stewardship, and in particular, our campaign for pledges for next year's operating budget? We give joyfully because we love. We love God, God's creation, and every person in it. We give joyfully because we love the church. The church is the continuation of the body of Christ. We, as the church, are commissioned to continue Christ's mission. We give joyfully because without our pledges, the ministry begun by those whose ashes are buried in the memorial garden will not continue. And we give joyfully because the world needs the love of the church and its ministry. So on this rock, we are rich in love. Capital L, capital O, capital V, capital E.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Since you get two of us, I suppose a reasonable person would be forced to conclude it takes at least two of us to equal one Dan.
I know better.
I'm just saying. I'm going to talk to you today about two things that you already know. But good reminders are often well worth it. The first is that words are very powerful things. They are capable of changing the world, for good or ill, of course. You may have seen the YouTube video of a blind man who's sitting on a sidewalk. He's sitting on a sidewalk in a downtown area, and next to him is a sign that says, "Blind, please help." As dozens of business people hurry past him, occasionally, not too often, someone slows down and drops a coin or two into his little container. One day, a young woman stops in front of him and picks up his sign and begins to write with great flourish. Her back is to us, so we can't see what she's writing on his sign. She leaves, and we see over the next days that almost everyone who passes by the blind man stops and puts money in his cup. He seems amazed, and when the young woman comes back by a few days later and stops in front of him, he recognizes her by feeling her shoes. He asks her in amazement, "What did you write on my sign that makes everyone stop and try to help me?" And the camera pulls back, and we can see what she wrote on his sign, and it says, "Today is a beautiful day, and I can't see." Words are very, very powerful things. Words can change our lives. We all know this. You think of the famous quotes that almost all of us carry around with us, John Kennedy's "Ask Not," Martin Luther King Jr.'s "I Have a Dream." Words matter. And not only can the choice of words have enormous consequences, as we saw, this phrase versus that phrase, but the very fact that we articulated an emotion or a thought matters. So my second reminder to you then is that unspoken thoughts are like barren ground. Thoughts given expression, on the other hand, are like a lush meadow in spring. Or as one author put it, we must write or speak or act our thoughts, our feelings must have expression, or they will be as clouds, which, till they descend in rain, will never bring up fruit or flower. And humans have recognized this for centuries. Jews in front of the Wailing Wall write prayers on little pieces of paper and insert them into the spaces between the rocks of the wall, believing that their message will be sent directly to God. Tibetans have for centuries written messages on little flags that they string up in the wind, meant to convey prayers of goodwill. You might think about love letters or letters home from the war, often kept for generations. I know I still have some letters my father sent to my mother from overseas during World War II. These are powerful things. These physical manifestations of an emotion or an experience bind the sender and the receiver, making them one in some sense, deepening forever their relationship. And this is exactly what we at Emmanuel have been up to for the last few months. Each of us has been asked, as part of our Rich in Love campaign, to stop and reflect about someone else within our parish, and then to take the time to sit down and write your thought or hope or observation to that person. You may have already received one or two of these notes. You may have already written a note or two. If you have participated, great. If you've not, I urge you to join in. Through our notes to one another, we have, we hope, deepened the well of our shared experiences and strengthened our relationships with one another, enriching the fabric of our lives and binding us ever closer to one another. Now, to be sure, words can be used for ill. Hate speech does indeed do what it says. But used reverently, honestly, devoutly, words can be powerful instruments of God's grace. After all, was not Jesus' incarnation, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, not a communication from God to us that said he loves us, that said he wants to be in relation with us, that he desires a deeper, richer relationship with us? Do our words to one another not bring joy to God? Do they not reveal that thoughts articulated build relationships, foster love? Do they not nurture, encourage, build up, reconcile? Are these not things God calls us to do? Our modern world, with its tweets and emails and smartphones and Facebook, is wonderful for keeping us in touch. But our communications can be, they aren't necessarily, but they can be, quick or off the cuff. Our campaign of letter writing, of sending notes to one another, of taking the time to get out a note card, write down what we're feeling or thinking, putting it in an envelope and addressing it, and then putting it in the mail, has, I believe, been a powerful experience for both sender and receiver. Testimony to the power we all possess, the power to reach out to one another, all with the idea of building community that we may honor and serve God. Last year, around this time, you may or may not be aware, I faced a potentially life-threatening illness, and during that time, I received from many of you physical manifestations of your concern. Notes came regularly in the mail, flowers came from the altar, phone calls were made, visits took place, and a prayer shawl, knit by hands from here, was delivered. These were, I'm sure you can imagine, very comforting. Interestingly enough, I remember also, almost 30 years ago, when my father died very suddenly, being embraced by the same community in much the same way. And these same calls and cards have come in for good times in my life, as in yours, I'm sure. Births of children and grandchildren, celebrations of many kinds. We are in community with one another. Each Sunday, we hear the words given to those who take communion, to those who cannot be with us. We who are many are one. Every week we see the different ways in which we express our love and concern for one another. Greeters who reach a hand out, parishioners moving up and down the aisle exchanging the peace, those who gather on a weekday evening to share a meal together. All of these and more are manifestations of our love for one another. These letters we have been writing are but one note in our symphony. My hope is that each of us will take this opportunity to reach out to someone who has meant something special to you, or to someone you don't know but would like to. And just as we've increasingly stressed that stewardship is an ongoing, year-round endeavor, not limited to talk of money, not limited to only one time of the year, let's hope that our letter writing, our notes to one another, become even more of a tradition in the days and years ahead. By the way, this is my note to you.